Let us talk about nature, which is an amazing topic because it's all around us. And when I used to think about nature, or when most people think about nature, we think about going on a hike, right? But there's so much more out there. There's so much more than we can do than getting into a hike, because a hike is essentially destination focused. You have a target, you're going to it, you're coming back, or you're going around a loop. So let's hear from everybody out there. What are the other things that you do in nature besides going on a hike? Because there's other things. Off the top of my head, there's going into a body of water, right? So you're receiving water, you're receiving the benefit of water, you're receiving the cooling aspect, you're being embraced by water. But even that is looking at nature as a resource. And so I want to take this live and talk about the different ways that we can interact with nature at a deeper level. And I recommend some books. One is called Forest Bathing, and that is a very quick read, and it's a very in-depth way to interact with nature. And then if you get into Stephen Herod Buhner's work, Plant Intelligence of the and the Imaginal Realm into the Dreaming of Earth, he has another one called Becoming Vegetalista. That one I would read after you read everything else, because that's at the very end of his life. But he also wrote Secret Teachings of Plants, which I recommend reading. These are giant books. I mean, they're pretty big. What are these, like 400 pages? Over 500 pages? They're big books, and so they're an investment. The Secret Teachings of Plants will change your life. So will Plant Intelligence and the Imaginal Realm into the Dreaming of Earth. I love that title. This is actually one of my favorite books. He's no longer with us. I actually looked him up to interview him. He's no longer with us. Another book is The Hidden Messages of Trees. And that book is amazing as well. There's another book called Tree Talk, which is essentially channeled messages from trees. There's the Ringing Cedars book series, which I haven't read yet, but I heard good things about that as well. Just reading some comments here. Grounding, hugging trees, bare feet on the moss. Yes, I have a river which I walk into daily, which is great. What was the first book? The first book was Secret Teachings of Plants. Love the Hidden Messages of Trees. Yeah. The Earthing book is another book. But the way that us humans are programmed to think about things like nature is, what can I get from it, right? We usually look at the world as a set of resources. And that is one way to interact, but also realizing that that's how we interact with our external environment, and it's not necessarily how our external environment is interacting with us. And what I mean by that is that when you go into nature, there's living entities in there. There's trees, there's plants, there's the ground, there's the rocks, there's the wind, there's the sun, there's the water. And then there's this other essence consciousness that's bringing this all into life. And from our state of focus, we focus on skin in. We've got a very strong sense of self, an awareness of self. And that changes, it varies from life form to life form. So you take a tree, it may have awareness, but the separateness between the tree and the air, or the tree and the ground, or the tree and another tree, or the tree and the fungus, or in the tree and you, might not be so apparent to the tree, at least not as apparent as it is for us. Even human beings go through these stages where we don't identify as the self that we do as a, am I 42? No, I'm 41. As a 41-year-old male like myself, when I was, psychologically speaking, like before 2 years old, 0 to 2 years old, and even in the womb, that separateness doesn't exist. at least that's what I was taught in psychology school. We don't realize that the boob, the teat that we're receiving nutrition from is separate from us until about 2 years old. Then we start reaching for things in our environment and realizing that we can manipulate our environment because our environment is separate from us, and we start throwing things onto the ground. That's what people call the terrible twos, because it's us expressing this new sense of identity, this new sense of self. Someone asked who the authors are. You just look up the titles, you'll find them. We Are Nature, all of that is a reflection of ourselves. Of course, I often find myself, I'm reading comments, and I often find myself just gazing in awe at the mountain next to my house. You know, the Japanese have a word for that, yugen. And it's this gnosis that there's something like far away, like a mountain, that you don't necessarily fully comprehend the experience of, but you still appreciate the beauty of it. And you can apply that to the whole universe and life itself, that we don't necessarily need to know what's on that mountain. We can look at it from afar and we can admire the beauty of what it is, even though we aren't on the mountain. And we can do that within our entire life as well. And so this is a little bit of an example of what I was speaking about. Instead of looking at nature as a resource to get things, we can use it as a way to reflect internally, and just interacting with it in that way, where it's beyond a sensorial experience. It's actually internal senses. It goes into your psyche. It penetrates into your psyche. You're not seeing it. You're not hearing it. Well, you are doing that, but then it transmutes into something else internally. All that consciousness could very well be ourselves experiencing and self-reflecting on all those things. Okay, so back to that little tangent I was going on. So I've laid down the foundation that our individual sense of self is a state of awareness that we are inhabited in within this environment. It isn't necessarily the only state of awareness, because even us as humans before 2 years old, we don't have this state of awareness. We have a motivation. I'm hungry. And we start to cry. We start to make sounds. Why do we make that sound? Well, because if there's something in our belly that's agitated, it's craving food. How would we quell that agitation or that pain? Well, this is the only sound that we make. This is the only consonant. So the consonants in our language shape the vowel sounds. And the vowel sounds, these are what's otherwise known as primordial sounds. These are the sounds of the universe. They have existed beyond human beings, for sure. And the consonants take that vibration and it shapes it. And then we make meaning to those shapes. But before the meaning was associated with those shapes, like before 2 years old, when we don't even have any comprehension of what mama is, that energy is doing something to us. So we're taking that energy, that vibration, we're closing our mouth, I shouldn't say ma, because ma implies that we open our mouth, but the sound is the only sound that we make with our lips closed. And so you have babies who have no idea what a madre, a mother, a mama is, making ma sounds because they're helping ease this down in their tummy. And they do not necessarily comprehend that a separate being that we label as mother is going to come and feed them. They're just acting on their internal sensations and reacting to it, responding to it in a way that they say see fit. The mother, who is well inhabited in this environment, is going to go make it easier for the baby and pop out the boob and give the food. But that sense of separateness is developed in us at 2 years old. Now, I'm saying all that because when we go into nature, if we imagine that sense of separateness not existing the way that it exists for us, right? We touch a tree, we become one with the tree from the tree's experience. We are the tree. The tree doesn't see us as something else. It sees us as self. We start to think things, and the tree is thinking those things. And if we can open up our mind, our psyche, our perceptions beyond ourself, maybe we can hear the tree say something back. And maybe it's in your spoken language, and maybe you're imagining it. At this point, I love these things because it doesn't matter if you're imagining it. It just doesn't. The experience itself is going to bring up, let's say it is an imagination and it's not the tree. It's the experience of doing this is going to bring up something inside of you that you come up with and create as a result of this experience, whether the tree actually did it or not. It's going to not necessarily be spoken language as well. It could be a feeling. It could be a noticing. You give the trees eyes and ears and legs when you truly connect. And so if it takes those eyes and ears and legs and allows you to wander and find the answer because you see something else, that's the end. You see a dead leaf tumbling in the on the dirt and that means something to you. The tree and the leaf are one as well. It's just us that sees them as different and we label tree, leaf, no longer on the tree, must be separate. We make those labels. The entities that exist within our physical realm do not operate all like that. Take bees, take hives, for example. That's one mind, even though a lot of separate individuals. It's one mind. That's where hive mind comes from. Humans have adapted to very structured individual houses separated in rooms, working individually, having tasks that we're each individually responsible for, going to school where we get grades for our own efforts, our own intelligence, even playing sports where we have a role that is ours. Team sports are amazing because it's a collaborative effort, but there's some positives and negatives. I mean, I guess it's all perfect, but there's team sports is a way to get more into that hive mind, that oneness, that unison. But we've adapted to this sense of strong individualism, which is great. It's a stage on our soul's evolution. There's other humans on this planet that doesn't serve them so much. You take inhabitants of an island that's not living in this. They don't even know what a cell phone is. They don't even know what a picture is. And these people get a sense that one of their family, their kin, is stuck underneath the log on the other side of the island. That's important. It's important for them to have an awareness grander than skin in because they can keep track of things. They can also extend into the forest and collaborate with that. Just reading comments here. So how do we do this? I have a super loud mouse. You guys probably can't hear it because I'm using a microphone. But I have this really old wired mouse. It even has a roll ball on it. I went through so many mouses to try and find a mouse. I went through so many mice to try and find a mouse that doesn't have EMF. That I was burning my hand because I was operating technology so much. And so now I use a rollerball mouse and then a wired, this isn't a wireless keyboard. Got a wireless keyboard here as well. And that has helped the EMF for my phone. And I've got all the EMF devices that you can imagine as well. So grounding mats and Justin's EMF bags. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we connect? I'll give some practical exercises, but if you've got some ideas on your own, definitely throw them in the chat. Do you know when your best friends about to call you and you pick up your phone and you're thinking about them right when they call you. This is what I'm talking about. I would find it very hard to imagine that nobody, that somebody out there has never had that experience. I feel like everybody has had that experience. And if you haven't had that, pick up the phone because you're about to call somebody or text somebody and they had already texted or called you or are doing that in the moment. If you haven't had that experience, maybe you've had the experience where you're doing something like eating in a loud restaurant and then you just turn and look and somebody's staring right at you because you got a hit. There is some sort of energy that you could feel. Or maybe the other. You're in a crowded room and you're scanning the crowd. And as you're scanning the crowd, just checking everybody out, somebody with their eyes down, there's no sound that's telling them that you're looking at them. With their eyes down, they just look right into your eyes, straight away. Like there is a pull right accurately into your eyes. What is that? Modern science that is accepted, I should say, says that is impossible to happen. However, we have the experiential, we have the experience of it happening. So what is that? So back to the phone thing. I find it easier to connect with people if you're harmonized with them. So best friend, mother, you can create together. You can unify easier. When you go into to nature, if you're looking at a tree as a tree, like we're taught about in a book, that it's a tree and we cut it down and we make tables out of it. And we might have this sort of separate program. And so if we can dissolve that and love as self. And I believe it was last week in the live, I was talking about the difference between looking penetratively at something and receptively into something. And the penetrative look, you're looking into it, you're looking at it. The receptive look, you're opening up your awareness and you're receiving. And I find it much easier to connect if you open up your entire body. It's not just the vision. It's your skin, it's your heart, it's your soul is receiving. Now, we're taught not to do these things, or we're not even taught about this, probably to our benefit, right? Until somebody comes along like I am, just a messenger of ideas and makes you aware of a different way. And by the time you reach this message, hopefully you're at a level where you can receive this and know that we can stay closed and tight, and that's what this heart is. It's surrounded by a cage at certain points in the city, let's say, in traffic, and we can open up when we feel safe in nature, in the present moment, where we're not thinking about the bills we have to pay. We're not thinking about that thing that that person said to us. That stuff doesn't exist in nature. Why? Because in nature, there's lots of things to stimulate your senses that allow you to be present. Back to what I very first brought up in this conversation, hiking, biking, walking your dog, things that I myself, a lot of people do in nature. This is action-oriented, goal-oriented, and that monkey mind is still going to be chattering if you're just there to walk your dog, pick up some pieces of poop, and leave, or to just go on a hike so you get your 10,000 steps. I'm recommending the book Forest Bathing. There's a difference between being in nature to be in nature and being in nature to do something. And so if you go into nature to be in nature, to be one with nature, to be natural, to be yourself, to be ourself. If that's where all of this gets a little tricky, because if you are doing something to just be, well, then that becomes the goal. It's almost like it's a really tricky place because it'll just happen. And at first you try, you do have to drive there. There is an agenda, but then you can allow yourself to open up. And so if you allow yourself to open up, now you're no longer on a hike. You're just sitting or standing or walking very slowly or noticing. You can do practices. So one practice is to open up your senses, because when you're in your senses, you're in presence. If I came and clapped really loud in your room, for that instant, you're going to be focused on that sound and everything else is going to go away. Forest Bathing is the name of the book. It's a super quick read. So I just open it up, and in this part, I'm actually not sure if it's a he or not, but I'm going to say he is talking about the threshold. So crossing over a threshold, and a threshold is like the thing on the bottom of a door when you enter a room. And so before you start your bathing session, if you imagine like putting a stick on a trail, or if there's a bridge over a river, that's your symbolic threshold where you shed your identity of who you've known yourself to be, and you are going to be present during this session. And then when you exit, you go back over that threshold and you become yourself again. You get to worry about your bills. All right. So one of the things that you can do is play with your senses, extend your senses. And I've talked about eyes. I'll talk about ears now. So ears are naturally receptive. Eyes are penetrative. They're masculine naturally. And last week I was talking about right eye is more masculine, left eye is more feminine, receptive, and the differences between those. But then those differences are similar to the ears and the eyes. The eyes are penetrative and the ears are receptive. And so the ears are letting things in. And then the mouth is the combination of both. It's got the orifice, it's got the hole, and it also has the tongue, which can, it's like got both. So if you close your eyes and start noticing all of the sounds that are coming in, and you can do this now, even indoors, if you're indoors, and you see how many sounds you can pick up at the same time. So I hear a car way far off. I hear my computer. I hear a car closer now. It was a motorcycle, actually. I hear the fans of my computer monitors. I hear what seems to be an airplane. If we do that with our ears, in nature, there's obviously going to be a lot more sounds, and we can guess what they are. That's one way with our ears. We also can smell things. And there's always the invitation. Like for smelling's not, we're not dogs, right? So smelling is a very strong sense for us. It's tied to our memories. That's why if I smell, like I remember one time I smelled like a hair gel that somebody was using. And the last time I used something like that was, well, anyways, it was the same type of smell that I used when I was 19 years old. I used to have a buzz cut and then a flat top. And then right when I first started growing my hair out, like 18, 19 years old, I got this like my first real hair gel from a salon. And when I smelled it like 10 or 15 years later, it was like brought me straight back to that. Everyone has this experience, right? It's cookies that remind you of your grandma's house. So smelling can do that. It can allow us to travel through our memories. Seeing, so a good question I believe is in this Forest Bathing book is, outside I see, inside I feel. So outside I see, fill in the blank, inside I feel, fill in the blank. So outside I see a dead tree. Inside I feel, like, what is that tree that's fallen over? It looks like it's been there for 5 years. Nobody's taking care of it. It's rotting. How does that make you feel? And so we can, as I was saying earlier, take our senses and explore into them in the present moment. And maybe it brings up stuff from the past. Maybe it brings up your fear of failing in the future and ending up like the tree and nobody cares about you. It can, but it allows you to dissect into yourself. The smelling, back to the smelling, like exploring into those memories. What do they mean for you? Touch. So touch is amazing. Climbing a tree with your eyes closed. So talk about getting to know a tree. Find a tree that's super easy, super, super easy. And this isn't necessarily something you have to do, but it's an invitation. And it's an experience that many people have never had before. And if it doesn't have to be a tree, but using all four limbs, right? Like it could be a pile of boulders that you're like, I'm going to go over those pile of boulders with my eyes closed, with just my feeling. And it turns into something else. Like the tree, there's a level of trust that you develop with the tree and the bark and how it feels and the stiffness of everything. But you're actually not aware with your sight that you're off the ground. On the pile of boulders, you might actually, again, we don't normally lay down on a pile of boulders. But if our eyes are closed and we're feeling, there's a connection that we have with the hardness, the smoothness, the rigidness, the sharpness, the sandiness of the boulders. And this all seems really silly, right? If you imagine yourself crawling around and flopping around on rocks in the woods, at a basic level, that's what it is. And that's what we're doing. That part of our mind of like, don't I have something better to do? That's turned off because don't I have something better to do? Could I be using my time more valuably? What else could I be doing to get ahead in the world? All of that is the stress that's constantly running. And so going into nature allows you to come out of that and experience it. Now, as I'm talking about this, and what just came up is like things like Burning Man and festivals, and these activities do the same thing, right? People get to dress up how they like, and a lot of times they use psychedelics, which I'm not too into, and it gets them out of their normal state of awareness where revelations may happen or they may not, but you get to experience yourself either as a self or something more. And closing your eyes and touching things is an activity that you can do. Another one is to pick up something. Your eyes don't need to be closed, but they can be. You can pick up something and interact with it and feel how holding a stick or a stone or a broken branch, when you pick it up, you can feel that it makes a shift in your body, and you can start exploring the fascial lines, the lines of energy that connect you to the earth based on how you maneuver this thing in your hands and arms and balance it on your head. And this is all getting you out of worrying about the past and the future and into the now. And you also can start to feel the earth supporting your feet that is supporting this thing and that line that goes down. You can start to explore into your body that way for those of us that are more tuned to our physical self. And if you're practicing things like fascial maneuvers, you can feel those a little bit more as you're manipulating objects without a purpose. You're not lifting weights up and down to get to your 10 to 15 reps so that you can get hypertrophy, so that you can feel more strong. Does anyone else have any activities in nature? The one that I mentioned about outside I see the fallen tree, or outside I see the clouds passing me by, or outside I see and inside I feel. This is a clever way, a clever exercise to bring the senses inward. So if you think about our five senses, that's all registering the external environment. We have other senses internally, right? There's the sense that I might be getting sick. There's the sense that something is off in my body. There's the sense that my heart feels constricted and even broken. There's this sense that I feel bound up or exposed or vulnerable or powerful. And just like we can move our eyes around and see different things, we can move within our body and experience internal sensations. How to talk to a tree. There are certain things that we pick up as human beings that are important to us. And our brain essentially determines what gets to the conscious level of awareness. And some people call them gated channels that allow us to operate at a conscious level. So consciously, we don't have access to much information by default, because it would be overwhelming. If I could hear, remember I closed my eyes and I focused on all those things that if those sounds were constantly in my consciousness, for me to consistently hear the car and the other car and the airplane and the fan and my dog walking in the hallway, the wind on the window, if that was a consistent thing, it would be very difficult for me to work and to read and to have a conversation with somebody and to imagine what my intentions for the future are. So, and then on top of that, are we able to be aware of our heartbeat and how to focus our vision on everywhere where our eyes look? Like there's some part of us that's aware and calibrating the exact focus of my eyes as I move around the room. There's something that's calibrating what the pores of my skin, how open or closed they are, the flow of the blood that's going through the arteries in my body, the balance of the hundreds of different muscles and probably millions of nerves throughout my body that's allowing me to rebalance in every moment of existence. Our consciousness is essentially the barrier. And above it, we call consciousness. Below it, we call unconscious or subconscious. Sub means underneath. And the reason why that exists is because it'd be overwhelm. So we need to train ourselves to open up some of these gates that we normally don't have access to. And just to give you guys an intellectual example example of the difference between the unconscious processing power compared to the conscious processing power. The conscious processing power, we have about an ability to process 120 bits of information. Now, 120 bits of information breaks down to about having, it's about the power necessary to have two conversations at once. Two conversations at once. So at 120 bits of conscious processing power, we are maxed out by having two conversations at once. So if you imagine speaking and listening to one person, that's easy, right? Easy to speak and listen to one person. But imagine also talking to your mom on the phone while you're speaking and listening to this person. Most of us have done this, right? We're on hold talking to somebody at the bank about something, and then we're also talking to our partner. To have a third conversation on top of that, another 60 bits of processing power needed, would be very difficult. To also focus on, you know, we're talking on the phone, you're hearing this person, you're talking back, you're talking this person, you're hearing back, and then to also be counting the amount of Legos left on the floor would be impossible. It's beyond our conscious capacity. It's very weak, very weak. Underneath, unconscious is anywhere from like 2 to 20 million compared to 120, depending on what scientist made the study. But there's millions of bits of information that's being processed unconsciously. It's probably even more than that, in my opinion. Consciousness, 120. Very, very weak, but it allows us to focus on what's important to keep this body alive, to keep this body thriving and regenerating and safe, not falling off of a cliff. If you're, you know, outside walking, you need to not fall on the rock So you only need the amount of information that keeps you able to balance. You don't also need to be calibrating all of this other stuff that's going on in your body, storing memories, bringing up memories. All of that doesn't happen consciously, but we can open up those channels and allow it to happen. Now, here's a good example that I believe is in this book, Plant Intelligence and the Imaginal Realm Into the Dreaming of Earth by Stephen Herod Buhner. He talks about if you're walking through a party and somebody says your name, instantly out of the hundreds of sounds that are happening, somebody says your name, you look like that gate opens. That gate that I was talking about realizes that this is an important bit of information. So out of all the sounds that it is processing, it's going to allow your name to pop through, even though it was always processing and hearing every single one of those sounds. But your name pops through, your body, your mind, your psyche senses that that's important. So you look. Again, I find it hard to believe if you guys have not had that experience. Why is that important? I'm going to go on a tangent here because you guys have heard of the frequencies, and someone's asking for the name of the book, Plant Intelligence and the Imaginal Realm Into the Dreaming of Earth. So the reason why it's important to know that is because if you guys have wondered how they can put frequencies into music and into Netflix to program you, they're doing it at this level that we're not able to consciously perceive, but the body is receiving it. Just like in that party, you're receiving everything. You're not able to see that the LED lights are flickering 100 times a second. You're not able to sense that, but your body is, and your body's trying to calibrate what's going on. It's light 100 times a second. Your body's getting stressed out by looking at anything indoors because the lights are doing this flickering. If you don't know what I'm talking about, put on your slow motion camera, point your camera at nighttime, point your camera at the ceiling where your lights are and hit record and then hit stop and then play the video. You're going to see the lights flash. And even though you're not consciously aware of that, your body is trying to find its balance within that. Another benefit of going into nature, because that doesn't exist. There are and have always, since my entire life, been subliminal messages underneath our awareness within the media. Why wouldn't they do that? They have an agenda. They have a right to do it, as far as I'm concerned. That is their agenda, to control, to manipulate the population. Is if we recognize that, then we stop hating them for doing it, and we take control and we make decisions based on our own good. We're not relying on them to change this stuff. We just don't participate. It's very simple. Because if you tell somebody else they don't have a right to do something, or they shouldn't do something, what are you really saying? You're essentially admitting that that is a thing. That it's okay for somebody else to tell somebody that they shouldn't do something. That it's okay for you to be shouldn't-id. For you to be shamed. It's okay for you to be restricted. It doesn't just work one way. You don't get to go restricting the environment and then you have complete freedom. No, it's actually the opposite of freedom to try to tell others that they shouldn't do that. Even the people that are suppressing you, it's all voluntary. All voluntary. The tree doesn't feel suppressed. It's us. We're volunteering for it. We're focusing on it. We're giving our energy to it, and it's persisting thanks to our own energetic focus. Back to the gates of awareness. When you go into nature, so I've spent a lot of time in nature, and a lot of it was goal-oriented, obviously. I was going into, during COVID, we moved to Mount Shasta, and it's full of nature, just forests everywhere. And I would go outside and I would film Kriyas for my Kriya of the Week program. And of course, I would go out and film my Kriya. I had an agenda, but also there was a lot of noticing. And one time I was walking solar. Sometimes I would take solar with me. I was walking solar. It was snowy. It was like springtime, but still snow on the ground, like muddy, messy, dead leaves everywhere. And maybe not dead leaves because I was in like a pine forest. But there's always those little needles. Did you guys know that pine trees still shed their leaves? I don't know if they're actually called leaves, but their needles, they still shed them. They just don't only shed them in the fall time. I have the deciduous, insidious, I forget the actual names of the types of leaves on trees, but the regular leaves that fall in the winter fall once a year. And then the pine trees that we think the leaves, the needles don't fall, they do fall. They just fall all year long. So we don't notice the trees ever being naked. Anyone that's been in a forest see that the ground is like completely filled with needles and compost. And that's another thing about like truly going into a forest is that you actually see that it's not really dirt. It's, if you pick up a pile of dirt, it's soil. So you're like thinking it's dirt, like city dirt, just like mashed little tiny pieces of sand that gets you dirty, but you pick it up and you just see so much. It's like, it's essentially compost. It's living. And so one time I'm walking solar and right as I, and this is the power of intention, everybody. This is so amazing when we manifest things that make us uncomfortable, things that are quote bad. When we manifest it, it's so amazing to me because it's just so perfect. You cannot argue with it if you're being true to yourself. So solar, because we moved up there, he just got a new tag and it was some really important tag. It wasn't just like his name. It was like a license or like something that was important. I forget what. But as I'm leaving the door, Carol's like, this thing is brand new. Do not lose it. I think she even gave it to me to put it on. And so do not lose it. Like I even thought to myself, like, how would I lose this thing? And what a silly thing to tell me. I was even like having this thing in my mind, like what ridiculousness to say. It's like saying like, get, I don't know. It was just ridiculous in my mind. So we go into nature and as I'm walking in, I notice a tree. And I just remember having this like feeling, this magnetic attention to it. Something's coming through that gate, right? And I stopped and I connected, and that's that oneness feeling, that openness. And I connected, you breathe together as the tree. Doesn't have to be a long time. I think it was literally like 10 or 15 seconds I did it. Respect, admiration, satisfaction, joy, love, groundedness, connectiveness. And then I keep on walking, fill my kriya, yada, yada, yada. I'm walking back out and I get to my truck and I'm putting solar in the truck. And I noticed the thing that I put on his collar is no longer there. And I walked a mile or so into this forest of snow. And at that moment, of course, I had that realization that like, wow, I made this happen. I created it. And so I was like, okay, well, the only way to get it, I think it was like shipped to us from somewhere. I don't know. We just moved, but it was like something that we weren't going to be able to get. So it was important. So I walked back in there and no negative self-talk about it because I know I created it. So I'm kind of like happy and giggling that this happened. And then all of a sudden the tree, and I looked at the tree and I connected, but this time there was a question. There was an ask. Obviously the ask was for the little thing that fell off. Like if possible, I forget the exact sort of feeling that I transmitted to the tree. And again, 10, 15 seconds, I felt like it was there. Go back on my walk with no attachments to it. And literally two or three steps later, I glance down and it's there on the ground. And cool, right? Like this is reality. This is what I rely on. And we all can develop our own sensation of how to do this, of how to be one with nature, how to be nature. And it can be developed with practice. It can be developed by reading some books, which is one of my favorite things to do. You can look up studies. You can look up other people's experiences. You can go find a practitioner that takes people out. Not necessarily like a hiking guide, but a forest bathing guide. And you can gain this sense, and it's subtle. And you don't need to have anybody validate whether it's happening or not. Like I just told you guys that story. It doesn't matter to me if 99 people say, that was ridiculous and you're a tree hugger. It doesn't matter to me. Like other people's labels, they have a right to do that, right? They have a right to do that. So back to like, that's another way that I recognize that everyone has a right to their own opinion, and they're going to have an opinion at their level of awareness. And it's beautiful that they have that. If I say that they shouldn't have that opinion, what does that really mean? What am I really saying? I'm admitting to the fact that somebody should be controlling me if I'm trying to control somebody else. If we can step outside of this sort of causal, reductionist, mechanistic, like a mechanical view of the earth, and that we're here to force our way through, force our opinion onto others, force somebody else from acting bad. If we realize that it doesn't only work one way, that there's another level of reality, another dimension that we're gated away from, where it doesn't work one way. We think that it works one way. We go and we slap somebody. I slapped them. They feel pain. I feel like I just dominated them. That's gated. That's our gated awareness of what's happening. Multidimensionally, what actually happened was you had an intention to inflict harm on another, but that other is really you. And so that's where the concept of karma comes in. You are intending harm on all, because that person, we sense at a very superficial level, they are different than us, but they're not. They still make up this environment that we are one with. Even if we're only really perceiving most of the time skin in, they're part of this ecosystem. We're in an ecosystem. This is all operating together. You put an input into the ecosystem. Now that negative, let's call it negative, even though it's perfect no matter what, because likely the person's going to learn this lesson, but we'll call it negative. You put a negative input into this ecosystem. The ecosystem now is going to process this negative input. And that person might slap you back, or the environment itself will rebalance itself sometime in the quote future, or maybe in the past. Maybe this is a rebalancing itself. And this is happening. It's just underneath our sense of consciousness. We sense time linearly, past, present, future. We sense things with our external senses and our internal senses. It's normally not within us, within our conscious awareness, to sense the thoughts, the feelings, the behaviors of others. However, back to the beginning of this conversation, we can do that. That was that example of busy room, loud, and somebody looks at you and you know that they're looking at you. You're inside of the awareness of them, or their awareness penetrated into your field. It's all one. It's just gated. There's millions or hundreds of thousands of times more information that we're not capable of seeing, so that we have this human life as we know it. There's some people that have access to gates. Either they practice it. Let's say they were a body worker and they started feeling the energy of others, and through hundreds or thousands of sessions, they've adapted an ability to sense others' intentions, emotions, traumas, and now they have an ability to see it in everybody walking down the street, hear it, feel it. There's ways that people are born with these abilities. And the whole invitation of this set of conversation was to go be one with nature And the invitation to recognize when you're going into nature to do something like exercise or hike or walk the dog versus going into nature to be nature, because it's a different experience. And there's so many things that can happen there, and to just follow the threads. And if you don't know what to do, Google it, ChatGPT it, read a book, find a blog post, what to do in nature. Do these things. You don't have to listen to everyone like they're an expert, but you can read what they're saying and let them inspire you. All right. Amazing work, everybody. Time to end this. Ta-ta.